Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Monday morning, July 28th. Monday morning means it is time to check in with Dr. Bob Weiss from Concordia Seminary. Good morning, Dr. Weiss.
Good morning, Andy, to you and your listeners.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you again this morning. How are things going? Is summer quarter winding down now?
Yeah, we have one more week. My one class was over at the end of, first part of July, July 3rd, and now I have this Ethnic Immigration Institute for Theology class that will end on August the 3rd. The 4th on Monday. So it's winding down, and then we get a little bit of a break, and then back to faculty meetings the end of August, and then off we go again. And I think both seminaries are kind of on the same timeline, so we'll just all be back in the driver's seat, more or less, when September rolls around after Labor Day.
Well, very good. Well, what do you have for us this morning? What do you have to talk about?
This is, I don't know that since you and I have been chatting a bit about life issues that we've spent much time on the elective abortion issue, as I think most of your listeners, if not all of them, are quite familiar with the statistics and the laws ever since Roe v. Wade came into effect in January 1973. Where the Supreme Court ruled that women, in consultation with their physician, have a constitutionally protected right to have an abortion, certainly in the early stages, because Roe v. Wade had really addressed the first 3 months. But, of course, it applies throughout the pregnancy of the woman and late-term abortions. Many states have sort of ruled over late-term abortions and said you can't have those, but that tends to be up to the physician even then. But what I want to share with you, the statistics that have just come out, and some of your listeners may cringe at this, but the Guttmacher Institute, which is, of course, a hand of Planned Parenthood, people need to go into that website and find out what really is going on, because they are reporting statistics that other people gather and report to them, the American Fertility Society and other people. And just a few statistics, and then we can pop into, what does God have to say about all of this? Half of the pregnancies among American women are unintended. This is what they call it. And 40% of these are terminated by elective abortion. So the whole point is 21% of all pregnancies end in elective abortion. And in the latest statistic in 2011, and now this is a low number by Guttmacher, because you don't have to report the number of abortions you perform, whether it's at a hospital or Planned Parenthood clinic, is approximately 1.1 million abortions. And this is down because the number of clinics has decreased by 4% in the United States due to law. So across the board, this is still a huge, huge issue. And my concern is, when you get to this whole thing, it's always about women, and they use this phrase, unintended pregnancy. They never talk about an unnecessary child or an unwanted child. They never address the child in the womb. It's always the woman and the mm-hmm. pregnancy issue. So I think people need to be tuned in, and if you want to be a good theologian of the cross, and many of your listeners are, you have to tell it like it is. This is unadulterated murder of a child that is God's creation. Even if the child is created out of wedlock, quote-unquote, it's not the child's fault. It's the child is not a mistake. It is the result. It could be the result, certainly, of adultery, infidelity, and other things. But what is it, 28% of women who are married seek elective abortions because they don't want to deal with having a child. For example, the reasons many women give is that it underscores, they say, they're understanding the responsibility of parenthood and family life. So they say 75% of women cite the concern for responsibility to other individuals. So that's why they have elective abortions. 75% also say they can't afford a child. 75% say having a baby would interfere with their work, their school, ability to care for a dependent, and half of them do not want to be a single parent or are having problems with their quote-unquote husband, partner, or this goofy phrase, significant other. as I said before, my wife is significant, but she's not my other. So it's important. The other side of this, where things are usually left out, are the men, the partner, as they call them here. And it's interesting to note that overwhelmingly, the majority of women who obtain elective abortions, 82% of them report that men whom they got pregnant from, of course, including them, they knew about the abortion, and 80% of them said it was okay to have the abortion. 72% of divorced and separated women say that their partner knew about it, and only 60%, however, were supportive of it. So I guess in the final tally of statistics, and many times people don't like to rely on numbers because sometimes they don't tell the whole story, and they certainly don't here. But yes, the abortion rate has dropped since 1979 to 2011 by approximately 10%. But still, the murder of one child is a murder of one child too many. So I think that we have to be tuned in that frequently when you go to a Planned Parenthood clinic like you have down here in North St. Louis, off of Forest Park Avenue over in Granite City, near the steel mill, and St. Elizabeth Hospital, it's right across the street from that. The men frequently don't walk in with their wife or their spouse, and they push them in together. And so what does this say about even men involvement? Well, they are involved, and it's not the phrase, well, they got me pregnant. The old phrase, it takes two. So we're back to the whole thing of what the Lord has to say from the doctrine of creation, that when pastors are involved with marrying couples, and many couples, unfortunately now, what is it, over 60% of them have cohabitated by the time they go see a pastor, certainly within the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. And so they say, well, this is her problem, this is not my problem, and so you go deal with it. So they deal with it apart from them, and they're off the hook. But I think that we need to be tuned into the doctrine of creation. It says, in a marriage ceremony, if it is God's will for the procreation of a child. So this whole issue of elective abortion, I still believe, along with this issue of gay marriage and so forth, they still remain the top two issues that Christians need not to forget about, especially when you come up into elective years like this year and next year, when you have elections ongoing, especially in 2016 with presidential elections. Many people don't want to call this, and they say, well, this is all a political social issue. Well, it may be a social issue from some people's perspective, but it's clearly a theological issue when you have the incidence of abortion still incredibly high, and people are just kind of like saying, well, it's not a child, it's a pregnancy, but it is a life created by the Lord. And I realize, Andy, that many of your listeners have heard this before, but in the state of Illinois, many people from Missouri come over to Illinois because all you have to do with parental involvement for minors, that is anyone under the age of 17, is just to tell your parents. In Missouri, you have to have consent of your parents. There's a 24-hour waiting period, where in Illinois there's no waiting period. So people kind of charge over to Planned Parenthood clinic across from St. Elizabeth Hospital in Granite City or some other place in Illinois to go ahead and take the life of this child. So we have to be very clear as Christians that this is one of the laws that, although the Constitution, they say, has approved of this, but we have to say, no, this is still against the Word of God. And because sometimes people are frequently wondering, well, this is the law, so we have to agree with this. No, we don't have to agree with this. Read Romans 13. And I think that we have to stand up and say this is not what is meet, right, and proper and beneficial. So that's why we have many organizations that are very pro-life, like Lutherans for Life. I know the Wisconsin Evangelical Synod has a good magazine out on this, and certainly other Christians stand up and fight for the life in the womb. and also outside the womb. Because if you lose respect for the child inside the womb, you will certainly lose it for people that are older. So there are connections between the beginning and aging life. So
certainly.
Just want to share those statistics and get us back into the scriptures again.
Interesting numbers. That is interesting, and I'm glad that you brought up the point about men. Quite often, men are left out of this conversation because, the opposing view is that this is only a women's issue and this is women's choice, but it really does involve men, obviously, in more than one way. And so I appreciate that you included men in the conversation. Thanks, Dr. Weiss, for bringing that up. We appreciate everything that you share with us. Look forward to talking with you again next Monday.
Godspeed to you and your listeners, Andy. Bye-bye.
Thank you. To you as well. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got the study of the daily New Testament reading. We're going to study Acts chapter 23 today with the Reverend Stephen Tice from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Columbia, Illinois. Hope you can join us for that as we dig into God's Word. Always good to get to study God's Word. And coming up after that, our new segment, Missionary Monday. Hope you can join us for that as we hear a report from one of our missionaries out in the field. Hope you can stick around for that as well, coming up at about 8:45. All that. It's part of his time right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.